Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:02 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track, and happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. It is, my fourth Father's Day? I'm not sure, I lost count, but it's cool being a dad, and happy Father's Day. And a big happy Father's Day to my producer, Mike Jafari, who's got the whole brood in the studio today. Mike is a father of three boys, and he's got them all in house today. Mike, good luck here this morning, my friend.
Oh, thanks. Good thing I'm an octopus, so I got multiple hands to still work your show.
I do not envy you, my friend. I grew up in a family of three boys. I only have one kid. You've got three, but they're a great, great group, but good luck to you with all them trapped in that little studio this morning.
Oh, thank you. We're trying. The show must go on.
Happy Father's Day, my friend. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, especially the racing ones out there. And I would not be involved in the sport and probably where I am right now without my dad taking me to Lancaster Speedway as a kid and getting me hooked into this. And that's how I got into announcing, which led me into radio and all the other fun stuff I get to do now. So we'll always and forever appreciate that. Wet, miserable weekend though, huh? Just what we needed, more soaking rains. The ground is so parched that we need more soaking rains this weekend here in Western New York. It's been a wet one, just about a complete washout for the Western New York and Southern Ontario racing communities, except Lancaster Dragway did get their show on Friday, but Ranceville canceled. Yesterday was a washout for everybody, including the Race of Champions Modifieds at Lake Erie Speedway. Today, Humberstone is yet. I don't think they've made a call yet today, but that does not look good so far this morning, as it's already pouring here outside our Amherst studios. But lots of racing on TV today. If you're looking to do something with Dad and you don't have any plans outside the house, you've got both a truck and an Xfinity Series race today at the Iowa Speedway. There's no Cup race today, obviously. They're off this weekend. Back in action next Sunday at Sonoma. But the trucks were supposed to run last night at Iowa. They got rained out. It was even raining in the Midwest yesterday. Some of the stuff on social media people were tweeting and some stuff from Fox, just some ugly-looking clouds rolled through there last night. So that race gets going at noon this afternoon, and then later today it's the Xfinity Series race, I think about 4:30 Eastern for the Xfinity Series race there, a doubleheader at Iowa. They even, the Xfinity cars will qualify at 2:30, actually, so they even qualified. Qualifying for the trucks was rained out. The field is going to be set by owner points today, and 16-year-old Chandler Smith is on the pole for today's race, driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Since it's based on owner's points, I believe this is Chandler's first truck series start. But he gets to start on the pole by the way of the owner points for the 51 truck. So he'll be on the pole today alongside Grant Enfinger. Stuart Friesen starts third today. He's got his dad Jamie with him out there in Iowa today. Matt Crafton a roll off fourth. Kyle Benjamin, Brett Moffitt, Ben Rhodes, Johnny Sauter, Austin Hill, and Harrison Burton, your top 10 starters for the truck series event today there at Iowa. So again, that's at noon, and then the Xfinity Series later this afternoon. Also, squeezed in between that, you've got NHRA drag racing today from Bristol. The Bristol Dragway in Tennessee, right alongside the course, the Stock Car Oval there in Bristol, Tennessee, in Thunder Valley, as they like to call it. That is coming up at 2:00 on FS1. So you'll get, I think if you leave it on FS1, you get the trucks, and then after the trucks, they'll have the drag racing coverage. And then after the drag racing coverage, you can just keep it tuned in because it'll go right to the Xfinity Series race. So plenty of racing on TV for you this afternoon if you want to do something with Dad here on this Father's Day. Coming up on the program here this morning, speaking of NASCAR, we'll talk more about it. Well, we'll talk probably about it this whole first segment, but we'll get some expert opinion from Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. He'll join us at 4:15. Nate is a journalist and does a lot of program on a lot of number of NBC's motorsports programming coverage at NBCSN. Nate will join us at 4:15 the hour. Love talking to Nate. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're getting close to one of the biggest events of the year at Watkins Glen International, and that is the Salem 6 Hours at the Glen, the big sports car race outside of Cup weekend. It's Watkins Glen other biggest event of the season. That's coming up in a couple of weeks. So we're going to be joined by Andy Lally, who drives for Magnus Racing in the GT Daytona class. He's a co-driver for the Lamborghini for Magnus Racing. And so we'll talk to Andy about that. Andy is one of the winningest drivers all time in the Salem 6 Hours. Four-time winner of that event. He is tied for most among active drivers with Joao Barbosa. So Andy's got lots of expertise there at Watkins Glen International. And just cool to have Andy on again. We had Andy on the program 2 years ago, actually, this very weekend, 2 years ago, Father's Day weekend, to promote the Salem 6 Hours. And I had to go back and listen to the interview yesterday just because I wanted to remember what we had talked about. And man, I forgot how much fun it was. I think we probably ran long. Luckily, that interview, I think I pre-recorded that show that year because I was out of town that weekend. We had to go to Jennerstown with the Race of Champions series. So I pre-recorded the interview with Andy. So I had lots of time to talk. And we just went off on a number of different topics. Sports car racing, his experience in NASCAR, just growing up on Long Island and some of the racing in that area. So we covered a lot with Andy. So I had to come up with some other stuff to talk to Andy about that we didn't cover the first time we chatted, but really looking forward to talking to Andy Lally again here at the bottom of the hour. Andy, of course, a former Rookie of the Year in the Cup Series, the year he spent running in the Cup Series for, I think the team was called TRG, back in 2011. But Andy, most known for his expertise in sports car racing, a former winner of the Salem 6 Hours, also has won at the Rolex 24 at Daytona. He's competed in the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which comes in handy because that just wrapped up this morning. I'm not going to go through the winners because I don't follow the international sports car scene too much, although I can tell you that Fernando Alonso was in the car that was the overall winner for Toyota today. Of course, Alonso, former F1 champion, failed to qualify at Indianapolis a month ago, but got a little redemption this weekend at Le Mans as he was part of the overall winning car for Toyota, which I believe was a hybrid, too, by the way. And so that wrapped up this morning at about 9 a.m. was the checkered flag at Le Mans for the 24 hours there. Again, 803-0551, 888-552-550. As we reach this off weekend in the Cup Series before heading to Sonoma next week. And, 15 races into the regular season. So this is the summer stretch. You know, we're hitting the near the halfway point of the full season as a whole. But more importantly, this summer stretch run, which always is interesting, leading up to the playoffs. As you get the off weekend here, and then it's hammered down the rest of the summer with Sonoma. Then they wrap up June in Chicago. Then we have the July 4th weekend race at Daytona, which again is being pushed next year to the end of the regular season, I believe. Now I can't remember off the top of my head, but that the Daytona 400 Fourth of July weekend. This will be the last year for that being in that weekend. Kentucky, New Hampshire, Pocono, Watkins Glen, of course, Michigan, the night race at Bristol. Then they get another week off before heading to Labor Day, Southern 500 at Darlington, wrap up the regular season in Indianapolis. So, it's a 9-race stretch run here with only one other week off between now and the end of the regular season. And again, the points are looking pretty tight here for the top 16. There is not a lot of, there's not going to be a whole lot of shakeup in the bottom of the 16. And that gap that we talked about coming out of the Charlotte race at the Memorial Day weekend, that group of drivers around 16th, that pack is tightened up even more. Should I say the gap has kind of spread out a little bit? It was, I think, back to maybe 21st or 22nd, maybe had a shot. And now after a couple more races, that gap has even widened. You look at Ricky Stenhouse back in 20th. He is a good about almost 60 points. So, more than a race's worth of points behind Jimmy Johnson, who's 16th in the standings. So it's going to, this playoff field might really be in focus by the time we get to Watkins Glen in August, maybe if not sooner, maybe even by Daytona in a couple of weeks, the 4th of July weekend. These guys right around 16th, Ryan Newman, Eric Jones, who are within 10 points of Jimmy Johnson. But then you go back to Paul Menard, who's 28 points behind Johnson. And then I said 10 house, and then you got Austin Dillon, who's almost 60 points behind Jimmy Johnson. So those the guys are kind of falling off here at the top 25 of the points innings. But I think there's still going to be while that might not be the big topic, I think just wins might continue to be a huge thing for drivers that are looking for that first win of the year, because there are a lot of frustrated drivers this season in the Cup Series, and that continues to be a theme. And Matt Weaver, who we had on the show last week from Auto Week, had a great column after the Michigan race. And by the way, hats off to Matt. We talked to Matt last Sunday after he had covered the IndyCar truck doubleheader at Texas. Well, because of the Cup race at Michigan, rain delayed to Monday. Matt, such a trooper, he made his way to Michigan just in time to cover the race on Monday after it got rained out on Sunday. He wasn't supposed to cover it because he was in Texas, but when the race got postponed to Monday, Matt decided to traverse from Texas to Michigan to cover the race. So hats off to Matt for doing that, to throw that aside in there. But he had a great column, about just how many drivers in this theme of unhappiness and drivers being disgruntled this season has just kind of been the overwhelming theme of the year, because while the racing appears to be closer and NASCAR touts how much passing there is this season, a lot of drivers, notably the Kyle Busches and Kevin Harvicks of the world, even though Kyle Busch is the winningest driver so far this season, second in the point standings, these guys are frustrated because they're race car drivers, and it's this package, this aero package with less horsepower and more downforce is making it hard for them to be race car drivers. They're driving the cars, but a lot of it is out of their control, because they can just go flat out hammer down all the way around the racetrack, and some of the nuances of being a race car driver have been taken out of the equation with this package. There is very little off throttle time for these guys, and the tire degradation and everything that can make a race interesting and allow comers and goers in the field, a lot of that has gone away, and now everybody is almost equal in their speed, and these guys are just they can't do any more. They're giving 100%. They've got their foot down to the floorboard, and they just can't pass, or they can't make enough passes or they can't, they can make passes maybe in the middle of the pack, but they can't get to the leader and pass him because of just the aerodynamics of the package here in NASCAR. So a lot of drivers continue to give their frustration. And, Kevin Harvick kind of did, as Matt referred to, a Marshawn Lynch impression with quotes of just, "I just drive and I don't know, and I just did my job following the race Monday in Michigan." And, Kevin's probably a lot more frustrated than even Kyle is, because he's still yet to win here 15 races into the season. The guy that won, I think, 8 races last year, and was once again in the championship 4. And he is 4th in the point standings. But the fact that he has been unable to win, and he's had days like at Pocono a couple of weeks ago when he looked to be en route to his first win of the year, and then they had a pit road penalty and a steering box issue that took them out of contention. He has got to be more frustrated than anybody, despite how good it looks in the standings. He's still 4th in points, 5 top 5s, 10 top 10s, which is 3rd most in the series so far this year. But he still has that goose egg in the win column, while the Kyle Busches and Brad Keselowskis and Joey Logano's and Martin Truex are racking up wins here in this first third of the season. He's got that 0. So just a lot of frustration out of Kevin Harvick and a lot of other drivers. And I think this creates a whole box of concerns for some of these guys like Kevin Harvick's age, where, we got to get to Nate Ryan here quickly, but they're going to be frustrated where they're not going to want to do this anymore. And I think it's going to shorten the careers of some of these guys that are kind of in this grouping of where Kevin Harvick is and Martin Truex and Kyle Busch, where they're in their mid to late 30s and may shorten their careers because it's not as fun or challenging for them. So with that, let's go to the Western Hotline, though, and bring in from NBC Sports, Nate Ryan joins us on the line. Nate, Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Dave. Good to speak to you as well.
Thank you for this off weekend to join us here this morning. Nate, just talking about the start of the season, and you're known to be a wordsmith, and you have a vast vocabulary. What kind of word would you use to describe this season so far in the Cup Series?
I think it would be hard to come up with maybe one word, Dave. I'd have to think about it for a while. I think unexpected, but maybe not in the sort of areas that I would have expected it to be unexpected. I mean, I think we thought the impact that the 2019 rules would have would be widespread and would show up in really significant ways at some tracks. And I think what's been interesting is the way it's shown up at tracks in ways that are unexpected, like short tracks. Like, I think that the 2019 rules there have actually had an adverse effect on passing, which I think is interesting. I think, you know, on the mile and a half tracks, I think it's been extremely effective, and I think it's turned the mile and a half races into more compelling races to watch this year, which I think was maybe the intended effect of the new rules. But, you know, I heard you mention there, I mean, I think certainly, I don't know if anybody could have foreseen the way a team like Harvick's would struggle to get their arms around things this season, and yeah, that's certainly been unexpected as well.
Yeah, and again, he's you know, expressing this frustration despite being fourth in points. It's not like he's in a spot where he could miss the postseason this year. You know, he's still having a decent year, but just to have that zero in the win column with the playoffs, there's the pressure to win is so great on these drivers.
Yeah, I mean, no question. And you know, you look back a year ago, and Kevin Harvick had so many more playoff points at this time in 2018 that he was virtually guaranteed a pass through to the third round of the playoffs. And this year, he's far behind that. He doesn't want to race. I think certainly his team feels the pressure, especially considering that it's been of their own making in a lot of these races, whether it's a pit crew mistake or a strategy mistake or a driver error. There have been a lot of instances this year where I think Kevin Harvick has had a car fast enough to win, but hasn't gotten the victory.
Another driver that's, you know, kind of in that, I guess, disappointment or maybe underperforming on how he thought would do would be Kyle Larson. And you look at the Ganassi team, you look at Kurt Busch, who seems to maybe doing better with this aero package. He's eighth in points. He's had some good runs, had a good run last week at Michigan. But Kyle is 15th in points and just not having the performance this year. What is your take so far on the two Ganassi cars this season?
Yeah, I think in the case of Kyle Larson, David, is an instance in which the 2019 rules just don't really suit his style. I mean, traditionally, he has been a guy who has run up near the wall and prefers that outside line, prefers to get the momentum from the high side the way he did for so many years in his dirt racing career, which he still does on the side. And these 2019 rules just like aren't as conducive to that. It's more about, I think, running on the bottom with the lower horsepower and the higher downforce. But I mean, you make a really good point about Kurt Busch, his Chip Ganassi Racing teammate. A lot of races, he's had the best Chevrolet, so I don't know if you can point at Kyle Larson and say it's a car problem or a team problem, because certainly Kurt Busch is really exhibiting that he remains one of the most talented drivers in Cup at the age of 40. Dale Jarrett was on NASCAR America on NBCSN last week extolling Kurt's virtues here in this area, and I think like he really is having, you know, maybe one of the best driver seasons in the Cup Series this year.
Nate Ryan from NBC Sports joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Nate, we have our six drivers that have won so far this year: Logano, Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Elliott Truex, and Hamlin. Out of those six, is there a clear cut championship favorite, or is it too early in the year to start predicting who's going to come out on top at Homestead in November?
Yeah, you know, it still feels a little bit early, David, although Kyle Busch certainly has had a championship caliber season, and in some ways you could probably argue that this has been Kyle Busch's greatest season to date. I think he's finished in the top five in all but, what, one or two races.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a world beater, but at the same time, I mean, there are some cases, you know, like the most recent race at Michigan where he finishes top five, but wasn't really a factor for a lot of the race. And you know, it does seem like for whatever reason, there have been races this year where a dominant car kind of gets out front and really just kind of doesn't really run away with it, like Joey Logano at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he leads more laps than anybody in the history of a 400-mile race at Michigan, but he never really led by more than a second and a half because of his rules. So, you know, that's been interesting to me, is that Truex had a dominant win like that at Dover. You know, again, certainly Logano at Michigan. Kyle Busch, I think, has been like that a couple of times this year. It's been interesting to me that like how the field is bunched up a lot more this year, but a lot of times you'll still be able to pick out like which guy has the dominant car, and it shows. And if they don't make mistakes, they win the race. And so I think that's why it's a little bit hard to pick a championship favorite, because I think week to week, that dominant driver, when there has been one, has been alternating.
Yeah, it's not like the year maybe Truex won the championship where he was just kind of lights out a lot of part of the
right.
season, just kind of
right.
whooping up on everybody, kind of like at the Coke 600. You're right, Nate. I mean, I was kind of talking about referencing Matt Weaver's column before we brought you on, just about driver frustration. But as a fan that sits home and watch it like I do, you know, I don't get to be at the track. I'll be, you know, one weekend out of the year, so I'm just a fan on my couch. And it is on the short runs. It has for the mile and a half part of this package does look a lot better, especially on the restarts. This 2-3 sometimes 4 wide racing has been a lot more interesting to watch. And you know, I'm trying to. I think it might have been the Kansas race earlier this year. One of the races where I'm like, all right, they're getting somewhere in the mile and a half package. But then you watch these last 2 weeks with Pocono, Michigan, where, and I think I heard someone refer to during the Pocono weekend, these cars kind of have a bubble around them, and you know, mid pack they can make the passes, but getting by that leader is still a tall task.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you saw at Pocono a case where, like, if they're not holding it wide open all the way around, if you're grip limited the way you are at that track versus a Michigan or versus a Kansas, you're not going to get that same quality of racing. And, you know, another thing that's sort of been surprising to me, Dave, is we talk about that unexpected theme, but unexpected an area I didn't expect to be talking about was the restarts and the number of cautions. I mean, I think the cautions have, there haven't been quite as many as we expected. I mean, at the start of the season, I think people thought the cars would be bunched a lot more, and they have been, especially outside, you know, the top five. I think there's a lot of racing going on between, you know, 6th to 25th every week for position, but there haven't been a lot of wrecks. There haven't been, you know, the pile-ups that you might expect to have so many cars running so close together, and especially on restarts where, you know, you always hear the cliche that, you know, this is an insane restart. Guys are all over the track and making all these moves, but you haven't really seen guys crash that often, which has been surprising to me.
Nate, we've got one more race here for your colleagues over at Fox next weekend at Sonoma. Darrell Waltrip's final broadcast as a regular broadcaster over there at Fox. And then the fun switches over to you folks over in the Peacock camp as NBC and NBC Sports Network takes over starting at Chicago. Without giving away too much, what is the second half of the season going to look like for us watching on NBC?
Yeah, no, really enthused about it, Dave. I appreciate the plug. Yeah, we'll be taking over after Fox's swan song, and as you mentioned, DW's real possible swan song. You may never see him again at a racetrack after he broadcasts Sonoma this coming weekend, next weekend. I actually will have him on the NASCAR NBC podcast this week as a guest. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and it was a good conversation. He had a lot of things to reflect on, both in his NASCAR career and his broadcasting career, and I do wonder if we're going to see him as much anymore because, you know, as he said, when he sees drivers or former drivers, former broadcasters who are just at a racetrack and don't have a lot to do, he doesn't really want to be in that situation because you know he's always been at a racetrack for what going on close to 50 years,
sure,
and always had something to do on a weekend. So whether it was driving or broadcasting, so I think it might be a little bit of an odd circumstance for him to be dealing with. So. I know that DW can be a little bit of a polarizing figure, both when he was driving and both when he was broadcasting, but I would encourage everybody to enjoy this this last opportunity to hear him this weekend at Sonoma on Fox, because I don't know if you'll hear too much from him after this.
I know that feeling, Nate. I work as an announcer at short tracks here in our area, and if I go to a racetrack and I'm not working, it irks me a little. Like, I should be doing something. I should have a microphone in my hand. I know the feeling, that feeling, because I don't go to many races if I'm not working them.
Yeah. No one wants to feel superfluous, right? You always want to feel like you're doing something. I'm sure you're always going to have that nagging feeling of, like, man, I should be, you know, doing something right now, and I'm not.
anything else we should be looking forward to here in the coming weeks on NBC and NBCSN?
Yeah, oh, well, certainly, you know, we've got NASCAR America Daily, you know, the Motor Mouse show on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. NBCSN has been really popular, Dave. I've encouraged everybody to interact with that. That's our fan call-in show. People can call the 800 number. People can interact with us through social media. Hashtag let me say this. So, yeah, and of course, as we ramp up here for our half of the season with the Chicagoland Speedway race next week, or after next week, a couple of weeks, you know, we'll have our studio coverage on the weekends and picking up Xfinity coverage as well. So a lot to watch.
I haven't listened to your most recent podcast, but I really like the one Parker Kligger, Parker Kligerman. I like the way he kind of break down the engineering aspect, how you know how close to that 100% level teams are engineering these cars now compared to maybe a decade ago. I enjoyed that conversation, so great job there. Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Follow him on at Twitter, at Nate Ryan. Nate, again, off weekend, so I appreciate you taking the time this morning, and have a great second half of the year with your colleagues over there at NBC.
All right, thanks again, Dave. I appreciate all your support. Thanks, man.
All right, Nate Ryan from NBC Sports. Love talking to Nate. He is one of our favorites here on the program, as we've had him on a number of times throughout the years. And again, NBC, NASCAR and NBC, their coverage starts in a couple of weeks with the race at Chicago, and they'll take you all the way through Homestead. NBC also broadcasts IMSA Racing, and they'll be at Watkins Glen in a couple of weeks, and so will Andy Lally, and he's going to join us when we get back here on this Father's Day edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the Jimmy John's Ford. You're listening to WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, big thank you to Genesee Beer and the folks at NAB, Fifeco UFC here in Western New York for coming aboard, sponsoring NASCAR coverage here on WGR. A big special thank you to my buddy Matt Goldman over there. Not that I'm getting anything out of the deal, but still, you know, cool. Genesee Beers continues to, you know, has had a great history in motorsports. They just signed the deal with Watkins Glen this year to be the official beer, as the tagline said there. They sponsored Borisette in the Cup Series the last couple of years at the Glen, and then even go back even further, sponsoring guys like Jim Herdebees and, of course, Roger Treichler, that iconic Jenny Cream Ale Green number 74 Modified, an iconic car in local racing. Dutch Hoag in Genesee sponsoring his number 7 car, iconic short track racers in Western New York, sponsored by Jenny throughout the years. So the brand has a great Association of Motorsports, and just cool that they've come on to sponsor NASCAR coverage here in WGR, including Fast Track. I appreciate it. Again, I don't get anything out of it, but I'm just still very nice. It's fun to be associated with them, and I'm sure we'll see them at Watkins Glen in a couple of weeks for the Salem 6 Hours, and we're going to be talking Andy Lally here in just a couple of moments about that, and as that is 2 weeks away. And I believe next week, too, we're going to have Michael Prince up either in studio for maybe even the whole show, or at least by phone next Sunday, depending on how his schedule breaks out next week. But we're definitely going to talk to Michael Prince up from Watkins Glen as well next weekend as they gear up for the Salem 6 Hours. Of course, they made some news this week. They terminated their contract with the folks that were putting on Woodstock 50. We talked to Michael about that when the deal was first announced back when we had Michael on in March, I think it was. But they pulled the plug on that, so we'll maybe touch upon that, as I think the promoters didn't make $150,000 payment or something, so they terminated the deal. But we'll talk to Michael about Woodstock and the Salem 6 Hours, and of course, the GoBowling.com at the Glen weekend for the Cup Series. All that coming up at the Glen here in the coming weeks, including one of the drivers that will be there joins us on the West Her Hotline. Andy Lally is on the phone. He drives the Magnus Racing Lamborghini in the GT Daytona class for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Andy, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. It's great to talk to you again. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. I'm not a dad, but
I'm sorry.
Father's Day to all the dads out there, and great to be back on here with you.
Yeah, we chatted a couple of years ago, and one of my all-time favorite interviews I've done here on the show. Actually, I went back and listened yesterday because we talked about a number of different things. It had a lot of fun talking to you. So I was excited to find out Friday when the folks at IMSA set this up. And last time we talked to you, you were driving for Michael Shank Racing, but you're back at Magnus Racing this year once again with the 44 Lamborghini. It's only been a few races, I know, on the IMSA schedule so far this year, but how's it gone so far here in 2019 for you and your team?
It is. I am back with Magnus Racing. We have transitioned from my last bunch of years have actually been pretty intense. 2015 was a Porsche, 2016 was an Audi, 2017... Last we spoke with Michael Shank and the Acura. 2018, I went back to Audi, and then for 2019, now we've got a Lamborghini going on.
Wow.
It's been an up-and-down season. Four races, two really good races, two really kind of meh races. You know, we've got we opened up with Daytona, where we had a couple little bobbles, came home ninth, but then fought for the win at Sebring, finished second, just a car length or two behind the winner right at the end there, and it was a pretty wild scrap for the last 2 hours. Then we sort of fell on our face again at Mid-Ohio, and then we came back with a really good result at Detroit just a couple of weeks ago. So looking forward to trying to break the streak of up and down and up and down and get two ups in a row here as we head to my favorite racetrack at Watkins Glen in just a couple of weeks.
You talk about all the different manufacturers you've driven for over the last few seasons. Obviously, this isn't like cup racing where it's, you know, just maybe swapping decals off the nose of a car, but how different is it switching from an Audi to a Lamborghini to an Acura? How is are the makes of the cars that different despite them maybe being in the same class?
Well, the WeatherTech Championship really tries hard to, and they've got a tough job to try to make these cars perform equally, but they certainly do have characteristics that are different for each one of them. The fortunate end of this story is that the Lamborghini and the Audi were built off the exact same platform a bunch of years ago. Now they've evolved and changed and sort of gone their own way a little bit, but if there was any manufacturer that it was going to make, that it was going to be easy to jump from one car to the next, it is going from the Audi to the Lamborghini. It is the same exact engine block, very small differences on the top end, very similar weight, minor aerodynamic changes and balances and feels and whatnot, but even sitting in the cockpit is a very similar deal. I keep telling people that ask me the differences between the Audi and the Lamborghini that the biggest difference from 2018 to 2019 is not so much the manufacturer switch as tire switch. We switched from Continental tires, which is a spec tire for the class that everybody was running on, to now a Michelin tire that the entire class is running on. And that change has been a little something for our engineers and the drivers to get used to. It's a little bit of a different feel, and they come up a different way, and the grip level is slightly different. So us adapting to that has actually been as big a challenge as adapting to the new chassis.
Is it? Do they last better? How is the runs on the tires? Do they wear out quicker or slower compared to the Continental tire?
Track to track, we've been different. Plus, actually, for the first time in the GTD class, we've actually got two different compounds, and Michelin is mandating the compound each weekend that we go, depending on the track and the temperature and whatnot. We are just switching from the S8 compound on the Michelin to the S9 now, so a little bit of a harder compound, and that's anticipation of the summer heat, plus the fact that we just, as we get to the summer swing, where we're going to have four races in like a six-week period, those are all very high-speed, high-grip tracks that the WeatherTech Series visits, and we get to put these tires through some pretty intense abuse.
IMSA sports car driver Andy Lally joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Andy, as the folks at IMSA pointed out to me, you are tied among active drivers for most career wins at the Salem 6 Hours of the Glen with four. So what's the secret? What is the key to success at winning this very prestigious race at Watkins Glen International?
It is a very intense 6 hours. It is not looked at as an endurance race. Mm-hmm. It's looked at as a six-hour sprint race. And I have been fortunate to win it four times, but I've also been, I guess you could look at it as both fortunate and unfortunate. I finished second in it an additional three times. when you're standing that close to the winner's trophy in my home state, a favorite racetrack on the planet, it leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth, and but gives you that drive to come back next year and try to fulfill that goal of winning this race. So for me, it's knowing this track, it's having an understanding of, or an attempted understanding, because it's pretty crazy when we get out there and we're mixing up four different classes in this championship in one race, and we're all sprinting to figure out how to let these guys by, also understand what this car wants, where you need to kind of consolidate a bit and where you need to compromise a bit on our setup and what to go for and what the car is going to be like at the end of the race. 6 hours through a summer day, you can go through some pretty extreme temperature changes. And finishing up, when we're starting in the real big heat and we're finishing up as the track gets cool, you want that car really fast at the end of the race. And it's sometimes difficult to make any severe or big changes really to the chassis when you've only got, you know, 35 seconds per pit stop. So you've got to kind of take a guess at where the car is going to go and what your experience in years past is reflected on how we kind of set that strategy for what we give up a little bit in the beginning so that we're at our best at the end.
You and your teammate, John Parter, is it just a two-driver operation, or do you have a third driver for this event?
For the 6 hours of the Glen, we're adding Spencer Brumpelli.
Oh.
He's one of my best buddies and a longtime teammate on and off through a whole bunch of different teams here. He was with us at Daytona and Sebring, and he will be on for both the 6 hours of the Glen as well as Petit Le Mans coming up at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a name I recognize. And obviously, with it's late June in central New York, so it could be, I don't know, 80 and 90% humidity. It could be 60 degrees. It could be monster thunderstorms. It's got to be a race hard to predict until you get there because of that unknown factor in the weather.
It is, and everything that you mentioned, we've experienced there and then some. Sometimes all in the same day.
When we last talked, they had just gone through the repave at the Glen. It's been a couple of years now from what you've seen and what maybe you've been hearing from testing. Has the track surface, now that it's aged a couple of years, has it changed all that much?
Not too much, to be honest. I was just up there about 2 weeks ago. We were testing for the 6 hour with our Lambo, and it was it's pretty solid. I mean, the guys at Watkins Glen have so much experience with this, and between putting on some of the best road racing in the world with both IndyCar and NASCAR and IMSA, as well as a bunch of grassroots series that are constantly there, they know how to take care of this stuff, and their build throughout that whole process was really good. It was amazing when we did the ribbon cutting ceremony up there just a couple, 3 years ago. Mm. And it's maintained. It's got really good grip, and it's still, I think, the best and strongest race that we see in North America.
Of course, stock car fans recognize your name, a former Cup Series Rookie of the Year, and you still run some Xfinity races. You ran three road course races last year. Do you have any potential Xfinity Series or Cup or Truck Series road course races on tap for this season?
There is two races that I'm available for. Unfortunately, IMSA moved their schedule, and they moved the VIR date on top of the Road America date, so I can't get to... I can't get to that race this year, but I've got Mid-Ohio and then the Charlotte Roval dates that are open, and I'm hopeful to do it. I just am trying to squeeze it all in. My next open weekend right now is October 4th.
Wow.
I'm literally traveling Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of almost every single weekend from here through then. So my Mondays and my Tuesdays are my weekends off usually, or are my weekends, but I'm trying to get those done. I'd like to do some. What I'm really actually excited for, to stay on topic here, is Watkins Glen moved their date next year.
Yeah.
The Xfinity and the Cup race, and that, if all stays the same with IMSA, will allow me to go back to Watkins Glen for a stock car race for the first time in 9 years, so since 2011. So I'm looking forward to that. I love heading up there with IMSA. I love heading up there with stock cars. Really with anything. It is a magnificent track both for drivers and for spectators, and I can't wait to get up there.
And it's just 2 weeks from this weekend, the Salem 6 hours at the Glen. Tickets available at theglen.com. Andy Lally will be there with his Magnus Racing Lamborghini and teammate John Parter and Spencer Pompelli. Andy, thanks for the time. Just like last time, another great chat with you. Really appreciate it here on a Sunday. Have a great time at the Glen, and best of luck the rest of the season as well, too.
Appreciate it. My pleasure. Always great. And for the fans listening that haven't taken a venture up to Watkins Glen here, it's not just the racetrack. You've got an amazing gorge to hike. You've got the farm sanctuary just down the road, the Harbor Hotel, which has amazing views and sailboat rides and some really, really cool kind of small-town vibe scenes that traveling for not just the race but the entire family experience is something that if you haven't gone there before, it's definitely worth making the trek for.
Very good. Andy, thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. Andy Lally again from the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the GT Daytona class. And again, he'll be at the Watkins Glen International Facility and the Salem 6 hours in a couple of weeks. interesting he pointed out he's already looking ahead to 2020 and taking note of the adjusted Watkins Glen NASCAR date for next year. So that's something we've talked about with the 2020 schedule, Watkins Glen's date being pushed ahead 2 weeks next year because of NBC Sports kind of asking NASCAR to take 2 weeks off for the Summer Olympics and their television coverage there, so NBC can focus their resources covering the Olympics and then get back to covering NASCAR next summer. So there you can interesting to see that Andy is taking a look that far ahead, trying to plan a schedule for next season. I thought that was interesting, a little point he brought in there. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. Not much of a local racing roundup to talk about, unfortunately, because everybody got rained out except for one event that's normally on our radar, but we'll mention those folks, and we'll have time for your phone calls at 803-0551. 888-552-550. We get back to wrap up this edition of Fast Track on WGR.
Let's find out who visited Victory Lane this weekend. It's time for the local racing roundup on WGR's Fast Track.
Yeah, this one's going to be short. Thursday night, we talked to Rich Vleck last week from Genesee Speedway. Their big race, the Gladiator for the Modifieds, that got rained out. And that is going to be rescheduled for late July, I think the 25th, and I apologize for not knowing that off the top of my head. I will double-check there. Ranceville, despite the no rain Friday, the heavy rains Thursday night really saturated the property. The parking lot has been an issue there this season, unfortunately, and it just can't dry out. It stops raining for a couple days, then Wednesday, Thursday dumps more, and just like it can't dry out. It's been tough this year at the Big R, but they got rained out again. They'll try again this Friday night. Big $2,000 win modified race this Friday night at the Big R Ranceville Speedway. Lancaster Dragway did get their show in Friday. Mike Zumuda won the Supercharged Bounty Hunters. Chuck Mandola won in Top ET. Dave Balzer won in Top 8 Eliminator. Fast Eddie Semlich won in Mod ET. Mike Peters in Bikes and Sleds. And Dan Nabb got the win in Street ET Friday at Lancaster Dragway. Saturday, a complete washout as well around the area. Merrittville, State Line, and Lake Erie Speedway with the Race of Champions Modifieds and Must-See Racing Sprints all got rained out yesterday. The folks at Lake Erie and the ROC and Must-See Racing are trying to find a rain date for that event. Not been decided, but they will try and find a date later this summer to reschedule that event if possible. So that was kind of frustrating, but obvious with the heavy rains that rolled through the area. And for now, things are on tonight at the Humberstone Speedway as of now. But I would watch their Facebook and website throughout the day for updates there, as they do have a regular show on tap for this tonight, including the BEI Lightning Sportsman Series as well. Plus, they have a trailer race, too, if they get it in, but I would stay tuned, but they've not made a call. The Weed Sports Speedway was supposed to run tonight. They had a wingless sprint car race, but that has already been canceled out there in Weedsport. So, rough weekend for local racing, rough spring in general. Yeah, we've gotten a few shows in certain places, but it's not been fun, especially when it's like really nice early in the week. And then, you know, Thursday, Friday, the rain rolls in. And that's like next week's forecast is like that, too. It's going to be gorgeous Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday already looking iffy. So unfortunately, we'll keep trying and hopefully get some more stuff as we get, you know, around the 4th of July holiday. Lots of big races coming up. Lancaster's got their first stock car race coming up a week from this Thursday with the Race of Champions Modified. So should be a fun time. They're coming up as well, too. NHRA, as I said, in action today at Bristol. John Force, actually the number one qualifier. Speaking of racing dads, on this Father's Day, he was the number one qualifier in funny car, and he even gets a bye round in the first round because they only had 15 funny cars show up, so he gets a bye run in the first round of funny car today. Doug Kalita is your number one qualifier in Top Fuel. And in Pro Mod, Mike Janis, Lancaster's own Mike Janis, he is the number three qualifier today. They actually had a in Pro Mod time trials, they had a car go off the end of the strip into the sands trap. So look for that video on the NHRA website. That's always scary when that happens. And I'm envious because my brother, who now lives in Tennessee, is there today. He works for auto parts chain. And he lives down in Tennessee, and so he's got, you know, the big VIP hookup today. So he's already, you know, sending me videos and pictures from being down there at Bristol. So I'm quite envious that the second time he's gone to a national event this year. He went to the one down in Georgia, and now he's at Bristol today. And as I always say, that's like on my bucket list, an NHRA national event. I know about as close as they come, it will be next weekend with Norwalk, Ohio. Unfortunately, I won't be able to check that out, but if I ever get to go to one, it might be the best bet to go to the Summit Nationals there at Norwalk for an NHRA national event. But that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back next Sunday. We will have Michael Prince up with us in some form, whether in studio or over the phone, as NASCAR in Sonoma road racing. So gives us a nice tie-in to talk to Michael about road racing in general. But, of course, they've got the Salem 6 Hours and their Cup weekend coming up later this year. DW's last race on Fox. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit, too, next week. And Daryl's legacy as a broadcaster, on top of his great driving legacy, but as kind of Nate Ryan mentioned, a polarizing figure as a broadcaster, I guess, in the sport, to say the least. So that'll do it. Thank you so much. Have a great Father's Day. Enjoy the racing on TV today. Send us your tweets at FastTrack550, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
Fast Track with Dave Buchanan is brought to you by Genesee, the official beer of Watkins Glen International.